All right, we are plugged in. You're listening to the Crass Files podcast with Adam. And boy, well, it's Saturday, the 17th of September. And I was just doing the Nightwatch podcast last night. And I mentioned that President of the AVN, Nadine, will be on with me today. And she is. She's absolutely on today. Said that last night, Nadine, that you'd be on for a quick chat today just to cover all the latest AVN news and also the bus tour. A few comments coming through and stuff going up on the Telegram as well and people wanting to know what's going on with that and things. Mm-hmm. Actually, you were going to mention Meryl's news as well, but I think Meryl posted, I just wanted you to chat about it after as well. Mm-hmm. She was talking about, put up an article about what happened with the council in the Blue Mountains, which is astonishing. And this is just the thing with the councils is unbelievable. It's kind of another form of censorship, isn't it? Like live censorship. Yeah. When you're trying to move around and do things. So the bus is touring around and there's another one coming up. I'm guessing people, because, you know, we have a lot of listeners around the country in different parts and they want to know what's going on with the AVN, what's happening, where the bus is going, all the latest information. Well, you're the boss. You're the boss. you certainly are. You are the... you are the in a great position with the AVN now, and so we chatted last time, didn't we? Kind of about all this news, but time flies, and now you guys are prepping for more tours with that big bus. It's I obviously we were down at the rallies in Canberra, and I got to have a look at the bus and go in. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? It's definitely you know, you can't miss it. It's pretty awesome. No, traveling around. Yeah,
it's large.
That's right. But this is directly taking it to the people, you know. So we'll chat about that. The court cases, obviously, I've brought that up, what happened with all that and a couple other things. But how are you going? And lead us in. What's going on?
Yeah. Well, thanks, Adam. There's been a lot going on for the AVN, as many people will be aware. The last 2 years have just been hectic and, you know, we've seen Anita Huffmeister step down, Meryl have to step in for interim until she trained me up enough to take over the presidency. So I was very fortunate to become president at the start of the year after a couple of years of being treasurer and vice president as well. So lots of change, and we've also had Meryl let us know that she'd like to resign officially from all duties with the AVN, which I am incredibly sad about, but also very, very excited for her, and I can feel the relief that she must be feeling after close to 29 years of advocating on behalf of the vaccine injured. She needs a rest, and it doesn't mean she's going to go away. It just means she can go at her own pace instead of the pace of the AVN, which can be pretty fast at times. So she can have a breather. She can go and knit and go for walks on the beach with her dog and her husband and get to spend time with her children that have missed out on her for all these years. So that's pretty big news. And
she's a full-on lady, isn't she? She's hardcore. She's been doing that since what, early
1994?
Yeah, when they went down to Parliament. But I mean, yeah, she's spent years battling and strong lady, Meryl, quite... indeed. And it's not an easy course, you know. So it's not the AVN.
Yeah.
It's an important body that gives people a voice, you know, but it's hard. So, yeah, she's very battle-hardened. And I think she will be involved always sort of behind the scenes, but this will maybe give her a bit of a breather.
Absolutely. I mean, Meryl, you know, as I said, she stepped in as president for a short time, but obviously we all know that the last 2 years have been probably the most trialing, I would say the most trialing times any of us have gone through, that are that generation that haven't experienced war and you know, all of that sort of thing. So we've really been pushed, you know, and so the AVN really got involved in some legal proceedings, which unfortunately didn't eventuate, and we were really cut out of being able to go forward and make any appeal at all. However, we're now in a process of looking at where those funds go to and speaking to those people that have invested into those court proceedings and how they'd like to see that money spent. So, you know, the AVN's been very busy in that, and also having...
Isn't it better to put the money back into the AVN instead of putting it in these corrupt court systems? It's just they really annoy the hell out of me how they're just throwing all these cases out, and I know people want to support the AVN, but it's good for you guys to have cash flow, isn't it, to put back into what you're doing, your websites, your media, everything, to have that money to fall back on as well. I've lost faith in the court system. I think that what they fear is us. They fear us getting information out. That's what they don't want, you know. They don't mind if we go into their court system because we can just do whatever they want. They don't really care, do they? But they hate us challenging them, and they hate that bus driving around and people telling their stories and, you know, us getting stuff out on our websites and having protests and all of that, that direct stuff. But I'd love to see more wealth go into the AVN. Of course, you guys need it more than ever, you know. And I know there's a lot of people wanting and willing to help as well, because it's such important times. Because you guys have got to run all that, you know, just keeping everything up and running. Money helps, of course.
It does. Although with the money that we raise for the court proceedings, it must be used that way. We can't... it's not seen as money for the AVN. It's seen, because it was raised for those court proceedings, it must be used in that way. So there are other things going on behind the scenes that we will soon, you know, talk to the public about. But, you know, we will see if, you know, we can invest that money elsewhere with other court proceedings that may be going. At the moment, it's just, you know, something that we're working on. And, we can't hold that money. People can donate to us, though. Obviously, they can become a member. They can do a sponsorship. We have a couple of different financial levels of joining the AVN. So we did have to increase our membership this year because the costs of running... the bus and other things that we were doing, the $25 a year that we had, just we needed to increase it, and we did increase it to $50. However, we've now looked at it and said, you know, there can be a $35 membership and a $50 membership, and whatever your financial, you know, availability of doing that, you can choose. But there is monthly sponsorships as well, so every little bit helps. And
explain a little bit, Neen. It's just quickly explain before you move on for any new listeners that come in what the AVN is.
So the AVN, it stands for the Australian Vaccination Risk Network, and we advocate for informed choice and informed consent. So our members, when they invest their money, we use that money to, one, you know, use the Vax bus and have that on the road. And it's fueled by, well, I should say, as it says on the bumper bar, it says powered by AVN members. So it covers all the costs of that bus going on the road, petrol, accommodation, just every little bit of things that we have to do, the mechanics, the, you know, keeping that bus moving. And we also, we use that money to lobby in Parliament, you know, look at changing legislation. We also work closely with people that need help in guiding them towards lawyers. You know, we have a lot of medical professionals come forward, people seeking assistance. So we're the AVN is run by a committee, and as myself being president, we're all volunteers, so none of us are being paid, yet we put in a heck of a lot of time. I know myself and another person, we man all the emails and we cover all the bills, making sure everything's paid for. And, you know, there's just so much that goes on behind the scenes in keeping this network working and working for the people. So whenever we can, we like to be out in the public talking about true informed consent, talking about the risks of vaccines and how, you know, you can make a more, what would be the correct word? The more researched choice when taking a vaccine. So the VaxBus is a huge part of the AVN now. It's probably our biggest marker of people knowing who we are, because it has travelled around and it's gone to many communities. And as of now, the bus, it'll be the first time that the bus will hit the road and get to its destination of where it will stop for a couple of weeks and then continue going, and it will be going into Victoria. So we're really excited to see that we can utilize this. It's a memorial. It's a you know, a traveling memorial of all those people that have been injured and killed from vaccines. And we see this as like the utmost of important work that we can offer to people right now. You know, these people need to be honoured. They need to be heard. Their voice needs to be heard. The government definitely is not doing its job when it comes to that. Yes, there is a reporting system that the government has, but how the percentage of how many people report, we will never know. I definitely don't think it's 100% people reporting their injuries, because there is so much consensus around whether you're telling the truth or not. And I think when it comes down to the bottom line, the truth is when a child or an adult is completely healthy one day and then they have a vaccine, an injection, and the next day they're not, or within those couple of hours they're not, or it can be further where we see health implications occurring after these injections. So we need to have that acknowledged. We need people to understand that with any pharmaceutical procedure, there's a great risk of harm. And most people, I think, could agree that, you know, when you're given a medication that you've never heard of before, you would go and look that up before you took it. Well, I would hope people would look that up before they took it, instead of just trusting what a doctor's telling you. Our best defence is knowledge. So we need to impart that. And that's something that the AVN tries very, very hard to do, is be a source of knowledge for people to who are questioning and want to be able to research further and look at, you know, what is it we are putting into our bodies that they're not telling us? Because that information isn't easy if you do a Google search. All you're being told is that everything's safe and effective. And we know that not just vaccines, but pharmaceuticals in general aren't safe and effective. And that needs to be questioned. And the government needs to be held accountable for that when they're pushing these things on people to take, and they're not actually in the best interests of those people at the end of the day. So I really want to reiterate as well is that the AVN are not an anti-vaccination network. We are about risks. We're not anti anything. We fully support people that have chosen to vaccinate, because obviously the people that come to us have vaccinated and they've suffered the risks. So our message is that you have informed choice and informed consent, and we'll do everything to ensure that people still have that right to choose, because once that right is taken away, it's very, very hard to get back. And it's not something that you give away easily. And this is something we have seen in the last 2 years, is how quickly people have given over their rights to a freedom of movement, freedom of what they put in their body. Like, their medical autonomy has gone out of the window because they've been so conditioned by the media and the government, is that you're going to save a life by taking something that you're not sure of. And so when you have that conditioning happen, people's common sense goes out the window, and they look at people like us who have chosen to not take these injections as being a problem, when in fact we're trying to save them as well. We're trying to save their rights, is to have that freedom to choose. And to me, that is of the utmost importance. And in that discussion with people, I've got very many family that are vaccinated. But the common thing that comes up in our discussions is the respect that they have chosen what they feel is best for them, and I have chosen what is best for me. And that one thing rings in there is respect. And I think that's something that the human population is severely lacking, is respect for other people's choices. And that then becomes a serious issue, and that's what we've found in the last 2 years. So the AVN will keep up that advocacy for that freedom of right to choose. And I can't see how we can ever stop until we ensure that mandates are lifted, that vaccines are taken out of workplaces and industries, because this is discrimination, and no one should be discriminated on their medical choices. Full stop. I think that needs to change.
Yeah, and obviously with you guys sort of being like a reporting body where people are contacting you with vaccine injuries, that's why it's always been.
Mm-hmm.
With the COVID-19 jabs, they're not vaccines. This technology, what is the spike that you're seeing? Because we're getting incredible data out of US, UK, and now through Victoria about incredible death rates and injuries that obviously don't add up and make sense. Are you seeing, just personally or through the AVN, are you seeing a big spike in injuries and people wanting help after getting, because these would be a lot of adults too, wanting help after getting these injections with serious health conditions or anything? What are you seeing?
Well, look, definitely we do have people reaching out to us, sharing the information of what's happened to them after having a vaccination, or their family. As you know, there's quite a few people that are doing this work as well now. So we've got Jab Injuries Australia that are doing a fantastic job sharing stories on Instagram. And then we have the Cafe Locked Out that have been travelling around since Canberra, collecting stories of Australians. So, yes, we're finding when people come to the bus, previously to this, injection being rolled out last year, we would just hear of the other vaccines. But now we're getting a lot of COVID injury stories. And you can't dispute the data that's coming through. I mean, I've never seen so much injury in my life from vaccines. I believe on the VAERS in America, they were saying that there'd been a double amount of injuries just from this COVID shot compared to every other shot combined that they've had reported for the last 20 years. So I think that's incredible to witness, and it's just showing that there's something majorly wrong. We've just got people falling down, adult, what is it? Sorry, sudden adult death syndrome, is a thing now. And you'd think, well, why on earth? Why on earth is that a thing now? And you look around, people are just having heart attacks and dropping dead for no good reason. And then you find out that they've had one jab, two jab, four jabs, and the evidence is there. I think it's just insurmountable how it's just, you can't disregard it at all. So the bus tours now are a totally different feel because there's so much more death coming through our door.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to agree with that. And I did say this, it's going to be like a tidal wave. It's only early days. It's going to be incredible. And looking, if we talk about the tour, the bus tour itself, I mean, as I said when we started, it's such a great way to get in. Get out there in the community, isn't it? And get in people's faces and get people, because I would obviously highly assume that there's many people who have had injuries, say from the COVID injections, adults, children, whatever it may be, and they might be suffering at home. There was something got there was a one message put up there on Twitter where a lady was claiming, she was just saying that she's been a 911 caller in the US for like 25 years or something. She's never seen so many calls outs to people dead in their apartments or houses, in their 20s and stuff, and they're just in there dead, or they've had heart related issues or something like that. We know this is happening, and so obviously if people have even slight injuries, and I would assume as well, like a lot of people have not been well since getting those jabs. I do even know people like this, they just haven't been well at all. Their immune system seems to be getting going down, seems to be, every day it goes down. So they're not recovering quickly anymore, and they know that something's wrong. They know that their health has changed since they got those jabs. They know what they felt like before, a few years ago or whatever, and now they know that they're just not feeling well at all. And they're not recovering, and they're in bed longer, and then they're going down again. You're seeing a lot of this, so this it's like a slow motion, slow-mo avalanche that we're seeing there, So, but I think there's obviously going to be a lot of people in society out there who are suffering, and getting that bus out to these people and allowing them to have their say is a good thing. And as I've always said on this podcast, you look at these mongrels in the media, and you look at what the government are doing, and the government health departments and everything, and as you said, the TV and the propaganda and everything. They push these jabs onto people. They force, they push, they push, they push. They're not forcing you. You're doing it to yourself. You're going out and taking that jab, but they're using massive amounts of propaganda and fear to get people to think they need that. And then when they go out and they get one of these jabs, or their children do, or someone gets an injury or they die, then these people who pushed you into getting those jabs, they're nowhere to be found. And then if you come out and you tell your story on social media or somewhere, then they come around, they attack you for it, and I can't believe what we're seeing in some of the headlines. Like these headlines now are actually calling people who have had one and two jabs, and they don't want the boosters. They're calling them anti-vaxxers. And you're like, I don't know if you saw that. They're really sneaky in the media now, what they're doing. They're saying that unvaccinated and non-boosted, are dying and they're getting sick of COVID. And when you read the article, there's nothing to do with unvaccinated people. The unvaccinated people are double jabbed.
Yeah.
So the media are calling double jabbed people unvaccinated now. And in the headlines, because those poor people, that group of people recently that lost their case, and there was the young girl that's severely injured and she's got all the clots and everything, they're actually calling them in the media anti-vaxxers. And they're actually not. They got their jabs. And this is the thing. And that's what I always say. If you go into all these big anti-vax groups, they're not. They got the jabs. They're injured. They have autistic children and they're in there for a reason. And so obviously having groups and places that you can go and talk about things is going to be really important here, so you're not feeling isolated. But, boy, when you get an injury from this kind of technology, the doctors can't help you. And people who are not feeling well or having anything wrong with their hearts or anything like that, they don't know where they're going to go. And I think we need to hear their stories. I think all of us do. And I think there's a lot more there than what we know. And this is the, as you said, Cafe Locked Out are doing it and they're going around. There's a lot of censorship, obviously. And the Vax Bus is a big part of this to drag people out of communities, get them up there to give them that confidence and tell the world. That's not what they're telling you, you know. I got this and look at me. So we, you know, it's an important thing and we need to hear it.
We need people to be brave, right? Like,
absolutely.
What said yeah. is like, you know, be brave, get out there, be brave. Speak up, speak the truth of what's happened to you. And now it's more important than ever. And I can't just say be brave now without saying be brave and save a life, because we are at that precipice now. Like, we have to start saving lives. People need to find that courage and know that when they go on film and they share their story, they are going to save somebody's life, because somebody is watching and they're probably in a part of their life where they're umming and ahhing about whether to do these. Should I save my job or should I save my family? You know, because if I don't get vaccinated, all my family are going to die, because that's the rubbish that's being sent out to people, is that, you know, if you don't do this, then your community is going to, you know, fail to thrive because of you. So when people start hearing these stories, it changes their mind, it changes their view. And I think now more than ever with the COVID shot, it's showing how dangerous it is. It's not working. People still get very sick, yet the mentality is, I could have got sicker if I hadn't had it. Yet when will the correlation of having it has made you sick? You know, I've heard a young child say in his own defense that a child said to him, you need to get vaccinated. And he said, no, I don't. And the boy said, but you've got the virus. And he said, no, I don't. I'm not vaccinated. And I thought that was just the most amazing thing to hear, because he was a child, whether they knew it or not. When you are vaccinated with anything, you are given part, apparently part of that disease. So this child, in his mind, because he hasn't been vaccinated, he doesn't have it. But then he topped it off and he said, well, if I'm not vaccinated, then I apparently should be dead, because I should have all these diseases, yet I don't have them. So what's your problem? And that's such a pivotal thing for people to start thinking about. Like, you know, I'm not saying don't go and do it. Do whatever you want to do, right? Do whatever you want to do, but just know what the risks are. But if you're looking at someone who's not vaccinated as being dangerous and carrying diseases, why on earth are they still alive and you're unwell? Because theoretically, they should be dead already, shouldn't they? You know, people need to start thinking. They're not thinking straight. And, you know, they have to get brave and just start, you know, thinking in their own mind, looking at what's around them. You know, watch this bus come into your town, and you know, put your hand up if you're not intrigued by it. Because if you're not intrigued by it, I think there's something a little bit wrong in the wiring of your brain. Because whether it be positive or negative, you know, you should want to know what's going on this bus. You know, you should want to know these stories that are being told, and you should want to know these people and work out how you're going to help them and support them, because there is zero support from the government, and there's zero support from some of their families who think that they're lying. And I think it's incredibly sad. So this is why the Vax Bus is so incredibly important to Australia and to the world, because once these stories are collected, one thing that we are going to be doing, just like the Vax Bus team in the US, is create a documentary. Now, another thing that can be used with this is all these stories are sent to the government, and let's see what the government does with them. Do they deny that they exist, or tell those all these people, 500 plus people, that they're lying? And we know with the work of Michael Griffiths and Jab Injuries Australia, there's more than 500 people that have come forward with injuries. So we have a very relevant case here. It just, it's whether they want to hear it or not. But what we can do is save ourselves, because that's all we've got, you know, and a way of preserving ourselves as humans is looking after one another, and knowing that, you know, government bodies really aren't having our personal interests at the forefront of their minds, and the only way we can look after ourselves is each other.
That's right. Tell us a bit about the council issues that you've had, where they won't let you park, and what they did in the Greater Sydney area of the Blue Mountains. Tell us that, and then finish up on the Vax Bus info, the dates and everything, when all this starts and where you're going. Sure. And if you have any, just to make it easier on me when I put this up, just any links.
Absolutely.
Any links to give those dates out, anything you want to send through, shoot it through on Skype, and I'll attach that in.
Yep, thanks, Adam. I will do that. So we, a couple of years ago, we had issues with three councils when we were doing a tour, and we had Newcastle Council, which is where I'm from. They put out a statement that they were banning the Vax Bus, and then Sydney Council did the same, and the Blue Mountains Council did. So we still toured to two of those areas. By the time we were going to the Blue Mountains, it was a lockdown, so we couldn't get there. So in this tour, we are going to the Blue Mountains. It's on our route. So I'll just quickly tell you the route, and then I'll tell you about the councils, because we're kicking off on the 20th of sorry, I keep saying October, 20th of September next week. We go to Coffs Harbour, Newcastle, Penrith, Katoomba, Bathurst, Orange, Parkes, Cowra, Young, and then Wagga Wagga. And in those councils, I sent out emails to each council. I didn't bother with Newcastle because I had already have a private location for the bus to park, so I didn't bother with them. But every other council received a letter from me just asking, you know, permission of, can we park in your area? Have you got a park that would be a good location with coverage, etc.? Now, out of all those councils, two came back straight away and said no, and that was the Blue Mountains Council, and they attached for me their minutes from their meetings 2 years ago of outlining why they didn't want the Vax Bus there, which was, you know, we were a public health risk and we were spreading disinformation, misinformation about vaccines. So the following council that refused us to park as well was Hilltops Council, which covers the area of Young. And they just straight out said that it was against public interest and went against, like, the health authority, you know, guidelines.
How do they know? How do they know what the public want and don't want?
Exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is councils playing God.
And
this is all because the people have allowed this to happen, Nadine. Right. You know, they really have. We Australian people have allowed these councils to become like little dictatorships. When we pay their bloody wages and we pay all these taxes through council, we're the ones who keep them afloat, and they've become dictatorships. How dare they have the audacity to come out and say that you can't park a bus somewhere because they deem it a risk to public health safety? And who? Have they personally gone around and asked all the people that live there? What a load of crap! It just—I would hope, Nina, as well, that that any listeners that we have in Blue Mountains or these areas get into those chambers and make phone calls and demand to know why they're not supporting this, and that you know, put a bit of pressure on them as ratepayers. Do that, because we can't let them. That's just so arrogant.
Right. And many people have contacted us, like. The Blue Mountains is going to be a very interesting part of the tour because it's the one area we've had the most people step forward to volunteer and the most people that have been working their bums off trying to find a location for us to park. And it's going to explode up there. It's going to be absolutely magic. And I think, you know, if you can get to the Blue Mountains on... what's the date? I've got 25th of September, Sunday the 25th of September. I would go just to go and be part of history, where it'll be really shoving it to this council and showing them that their community want us there. Apparently, they're the second largest community in New South Wales that's not vaccinated. So go figure. The other council that actually came forward were very, very helpful was Lithgow, which is right near Katoomba, and they came back and gave me a great list of options of where to park. And then after the Blue Mountains had their council meeting, which, mind you, they had denied us access to attend, the mayor there had decided that he knew what the outcome would be of the bus and we weren't welcome to attend his meeting. So after he had the meeting, and it wasn't a unanimous decision, not everyone voted, only a few, they decided that the bus wasn't to be there. Lithgow Council then came back to me and you could tell that they felt very uncomfortable to have to say, look, you know, we've had to really think about this and talk to the mayor, but we've decided to reject you permission to park now. So that just shows...
Is that even legal?
Well,
how can they say that you can't park somewhere?
I mean, you know, council has particular permits of how things are parked and everything, but I thought as ratepayers and, you know, citizens that we had a right to park on council land. I mean, you know, it would.
So people just need to go and do it anyway.
Well, I think you know, look.
They can't do anything. Well, they're going to send the police and arrest you. They can't do it.
And the interesting thing is, Adam, I rang all of these areas to their police stations as well. And I said, look, we want to park a bus and it's going to do some filming. We'd like permission through the police. And they said, oh, anything that you do on public land has to go through the council. And I thought, it's quite interesting, isn't it? Because when you organise a rally, you speak to the police and they ask you, well, just check with council that nothing's going on that land that day, and then they grant you permission and they'll come and look after you, the police. So suddenly the police are now turning everyone to the councils, which I find quite an interesting thing. I don't really understand what is going on, but you see, through this, it just brings community together and everyone's jumping up and down saying, come and stay at our place. We can fit you in. We can, you know. So if anything, it's backfired 100%.
Yeah, of course. It always does. Yeah, they're desperate fools. And by doing that and not just letting you to go there and park, they're just making it worse for themselves. So let them do it. They're pathetic. They are.
Yep.
They're pathetic. No.
And the thing is, what they don't understand is that we are motivated, you know, we are motivated and passionate people, and we're not going to stop until these people's voices are heard, and they're not going to stop us. We're going to drive through. They can't arrest us for driving a, you know, a registered vehicle through their town. Yeah, we can drive and we can do what we like, you know. So we're gonna do it. We're not going to stop.
Yeah, no, don't even worry about it. That's ridiculous. No. These people are pathetic.
But the thing, what we will do is we will highlight them to the public and show people what these people are capable of and how important it is for us as communities to get behind things that you want to see be there. So if you want the Vax bus, you do everything you can to make sure it gets there. So, you know, this is where things only happen through the people, and we have to make that change and we have to make things happen. So, you know, the AVN is powered by volunteers. Nobody's getting paid to be on that bus, and no one's getting paid at the AVN to do their job. So, you know, anyone that wants to step forward and volunteer can go to our website. Anyone that wants to volunteer, wants to tell their story, whether it be vaccinated, a mixed one, or unvaccinated, it's all on our website. So that's avn.org.au. And, you know, you'll find the bus. You can go to that link. I'll give Adam all those details as well. So, but this is where, you know, we make change through people stepping up and seeing what's wrong. And what the councils have done is completely wrong and unjustified. And if they gave us a chance to speak to them, they'd see that we're just people like them, you know. We're not conspiracy theorists and crazy, you know, tinfoil hat wearers or anything. We are just people, concerned citizens, wanting to ensure that our rights are,
well,
you know, contained. You know, we want to be able to speak and share. So
they don't have any problem with having, you know, McDonald's in their towns and all of this kind of stuff. Well, they don't say anything about that. I'm sure there's lots of things in towns, but to not allow people to drive and park a bus with registered number plates that you pay taxes on, taxpaying citizens, that is illegal in my book. Have you guys looked at just like, the AVN have a lawyer where you can ask them, like, what happens in a situation like that? Did they give you any details on just, I guess, how to do what you need to do, but also just protect yourself as well?
Yeah, look, our legal team came back with a bit of advice, but I guess at the end of the day, you know, the consensus was that we could be there, but probably to avoid, you know, having the bus moved on and police involved was to really sort of find private property, et cetera. So, look, we don't want people being put off by coming to the bus either. We want people to feel like they're in a safe and secure environment as well, because, you know, the stories they're sharing are horrific and incredibly sad and also incredibly happy stories. But we don't want people feeling this fear that they're, you know, going to be moved on at the drop of a hat. So we have to also use, you know, reason and be diplomatic as well.
Yeah. Okay, you know, I get it. And obviously people have property and stuff like that. That is always a good thing. And community coming together, they can't stop it. they can't stop the community coming together. And once that community grows and gets bigger and bigger, this is where we need to be, you know. So and it's happening. It's happening. Mm. It's just incredible what I'm seeing and what's going on. And this is just part of, you know, such an important scene that we're building here. So so you're talking now about the New South Wales tour, obviously, yep. that ending up around Orange area. And then what happens then with the bus? Okay, keeps touring moving on, or is it just New South Wales?
So the bus will end in Wagga Wagga, and then we have a tour that'll start a few weeks later that we're just in the works of getting together, and it will go straight into Victoria. And that tour should last about 3 weeks, and it'll stay in Victoria. And then the plan is for it to then in the new year go into Tasmania and then come back into Victoria and do a bit more of Victoria before moving on to South Australia and then, you know, on to Western Australia and just keep travelling Australia. So the bus is...
You're going to Queensland?
So it'll come back around into Queensland because it's done parts of Queensland already and parts of New South Wales as well. So, I mean, Australia is such a large country and each state's quite big as well. So we have done, this will be our fifth tour of New South Wales just to get us down to the border. Queensland's had a couple of tours, but definitely, you know, there's so much more to cover and it will eventually come back around to Queensland. But at the moment, we want to see it get into Victoria. We really, you know, we've been feeling for Victoria and what it's endured over the last few years. And our members...
Dictatorship of Daniel Andrews.
Yeah. Our members have been begging for us to go there and we've been really pushing to get the bus moving. But as you know, we're on a new bus now because our other one was affected by the floods in northern New South Wales. So we've got this new bus motoring and it's all set up.
You got a new Vax bus?
Yes.
Oh, so the one that I saw in Canberra, that's gone. You got a new one. Is it a brand new bus or a second hand?
Oh, no, it's second hand. We were able to get a member to photograph the bus with all the signatures because obviously that's always been the worst thing to think if something happens, all of that going. But they were able to photograph the bus and we were able to get the new bus rewrapped with all of the old bus on it. Funnily enough, though, the old bus, because it was a write-off, it went up for sale and a member of the, like-minded non-vax community bought it. And I believe it's somewhere in Western Sydney, the old vax bus. So I think that's just unbelievable and it's just incredible. They're just going to have it as a memorial. Like this bus will just sit on their land until it's no longer, which I think is just incredible. So I'm so glad that it went to good hands and not someone that had just gone trash it. But yeah, so we've got a new bus and it's definitely working a lot better than the old one. But we just want
to cost a bit too. Must cost a bit too to get it all black and all the all the signage done and everything.
Yeah, this is where, you know, this is where our members are, you know, financial members are so important because it does cost a lot of money and even with our, you know, the other bus being a write-off, we still had to use some of our own money to buy this new bus and then obviously get everything else done to it. So, you know, just the cost of getting mechanics looking at it, you know, fuel, all of that sort of thing. It's not a cheap voyage, but it's well worth it. And we'll always make sure we can keep it going. So one of the great things being on the bus when people see the bus is that there is loads of merchandise. So if you still love reading books, there's actual books, you know, not a Kindle, not a tablet, nothing digital. There's actual awesome books on everything to do with vaccines on there. Lots of t-shirts, videos. So I think that's really exciting in itself, that, you know, people are able to access these this information that they wouldn't necessarily know where to find. However, all of the books that are on the bus are what we stock on our shop online as well. So that can all be seen and found on our website. So, yeah, it's very exciting to see the bus moving and knowing that it's going to be going into communities that it's never been to before. So I hope that everyone can get behind it. And, you know, if they want to volunteer, they can send us an email and let us know. And obviously I'll give you all the details, Adam, for this tour and then the next one as well. So your viewers have a look and see where we are, and if they're in those areas, they can come and give us some time.
Let us know just your details on emails and things like that if anyone wants to send you anything or reach out. Anything you think is relevant to this tour. So we're obviously talking about the New South Wales tour. That's the most important one now.
That's right.
This is what's about to hit. So when does it start again?
On Tuesday.
Next week, next Tuesday.
Yep.
You're starting and going down the from the north coast, as you said, and moving over Sydney Mountains over into the west area there. So all those details will be up in the links and descriptions. I'll put them all up. And so it's the New South Wales Vaxxed Bus Tour is about to rumble. It's
Absolutely.
About to rock and roll. It's about to rock and roll. It's going to be an interesting one in the Blue Mountains, as you said, with so many people there. This is good. Need people to come out and see it and support, and just it's going to be really. Are you going on this whole tour or just sections?
No, I won't be on the whole tour. I would really love to get up to Katoomba. We do have a small team on the bus. I have let Merrill know that I'd really love to be in the Katoomba area, but we'll just have to see.
See how you go.
We'll have to see what happens at my end with my family. So, yeah, it's a very exciting. There's that part of you that doesn't want to miss out, but you have to steer the ship. Hold the ship of the Vax bus while it's touring as well, virtually. So.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, you've had some pretty heavy personal issues this year, and so you've got some family things, so you just have to make it all work. But you'll be there coordinating anyway and involved every step of the way.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
As you said, there's a team on board, and it goes ahead anyway.
Yeah.
And if you can make it to certain locations, that's a really good tour. I might try to get up there. It's a really beautiful area. And you can go for the day, and where we are. Go up, and it's just so nice up there. It's a beautiful part of the world. Shame about the council. this is what we unfortunately get, but we have to demand better here. These councils really get under my skin, I tell you, these people. It's unbelievable, but they're exposing themselves, and their ugly behaviour is just making it worse for them and better for us. So I'll take it. Anything you want to finish on?
I just want to say thanks, Adam, for
giving
me a chance to come on, and I just urge everyone to get behind the Vax bus and show your support. And if you can get there, please get there, because it means the world to us. And if you know anyone that needs that encouragement to come and share a story to save a life, you know, do it. Because this is the time, you know, this is our moment right now.
All right, Neen, we will plug out today and get you back again soon. There's always heaps to
Thanks,
cover.
Adam.
Always heaps to cover. And actually, be good to get you on again soon. I'll check in with you just to give people an update anyway on how the tour's going and share any information that we can. And I can always keep posting stuff anyway and where the bus is. But people need to get on the AVN website because it actually shows you everything you need to know, looking at the tour as well. So, and people can find it exactly when it's coming and where it's going to be, and they can get down to those locations. So it's a pretty well-oiled machine now. You guys have been doing it for a while, so everything usually goes to plan, and nothing's going to stop the bus.
People might put some speed humps on the way, but
nothing's going to stop it.
We've learned how to fly over the top of them, so
that's right. You know, yeah,
be guaranteed that we will be wherever we've said we're going to be.
Yeah. It's a big black thorn in their ass. That's what it is, parked right there. Because you know what I mean? You can't escape it. No. There it is. And that's why they don't like it. They just want people to shut up and be silent about it. But, you know, they don't like the community coming out and doing this. So this is why I said this is direct action. This is getting in their face, and you know, this is what we need more of. And as you said, people can come out and get merchandise and books and just be around for the day and make a day of it. Bring the kids and families. It's a fantastic thing. So good work, and we'll plug out now and keep in contact, and I'll let you know when this is up. And all good.
Thanks, Adam. I really appreciate it, and thanks everyone for your support. It's very much felt from our end.
Okay, awesome.
Thank you.
We're plugging out.